Welcome to Libertarians Working for You with host Arvind Vohra. Our program explains how to solve the most critical problems we face in America today: unemployment, debt, healthcare affordability, high taxes, loss of personal freedoms, loss of privacy, threats of war, and more. Now, here is your host, Arvind Vohra.
Welcome to Libertarians Working for You. 2017 and 2018, a lot of people don't realize that these are some of the most important political years in this election cycle. 2017, we're going to see candidates setting the stage for the major midterm elections in 2018, and every political expert in the country knows that this midterm, 2018, is going to be one of the most important elections in American history. With me right now is John Matthey. He's running in 2018 for state representative. He's the chair of the Libertarian Party of DeKalb County in Illinois. He's also running for state representative in Illinois. We're going to talk about education, government, ballot access, and a few other issues. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Let's talk about this. What's going on right now in Illinois? What's happening in your county right now?
My county is a very responsible county fiscally. Our schools are great, but the state is definitely making it harder on them to do their job with mandates. And I've been looking into the two schools closest to me in proximity, growing up going there, they do a great job educating your children, but I don't know what you know about Illinois politics, but we haven't had a budget since our governor has been in office. So that's caused a lot of problems with people not being able to get their funding. For instance, in DeKalb School District, they have been super responsible. Because they've been so responsible with their money and ran a balanced budget, the state said, you are not in dire need, so we're not going to give you your full funding.
And so, see, that's exactly
what they're counting on this money.
Let me just interject over there real quick. Because that's like such an important idea. Everybody in business knows that if a particular department is doing well, you put more into that department so it can grow, so it can do even better. But what you're saying is, in your own county, a school is doing, you know, despite all despite all odds, a school is actually doing a decent job, and they're defunding the thing that works. Is that about the size of it?
Yeah, pretty much.
So even when by just whatever luck they get something that works, they defund that thing.
I'm sorry, I missed that real quick.
I was saying, so even now that they actually have something that kind of is working, they're going to defund the thing that's actually working instead of defunding all the things that are not working, of which there's no shortage of. So continue. You were saying you had some more things to say about education and other areas over there.
Yeah, another big thing, and I'm sure other states have this problem as well, is the amount of state mandates. The states require schools to have, most libertarians, we would agree, you know, we want the states to be in control of education, but even more so, we want the communities in charge, because communities know best, they know what the kids need. But with all the mandates that our state requires, the schools can't afford them because they're not getting their full funding, because in Springfield, they're not doing their jobs. And so it's being that burden for these extra mandates is being passed on to the communities that through property taxes. Illinois has some of the highest property taxes in the state, and they are now the Democratic legislature that's controlled it for years is trying to again raise those taxes with the idea that we can tax ourselves into prosperity, which we've seen how that works
Now let me ask you this: if you're elected, would you be working to cut the property tax, for example, or do you have something else in mind?
Oh, absolutely, property tax. Illinois people are flocking. This is one of the only states in the Midwest that people are just flocking out of because they try to provide all these programs. People don't move places for programs; they move places for opportunity. And there's not a lot of opportunity for growth and jobs in the state. Taxes are crazy high. it's a sad state. And most of it, most of the state's pretty red, other than Cook County or Chicago and the very urban areas make it a blue state. So people throughout the whole central and southern part of the state, they're not represented well. They don't want their taxes going up to pay for things that are in Chicago, but they, I mean, what choice do they have when they've controlled the legislature for over, I believe, 30 years? So it's just, the Democrats seem to believe that if we keep taxing people, we'll be able to pay for these programs and we'll be able to fix things and create opportunity, but it's just not true. We need people moving here. We need industry going here. That's what our governor is attempting to do, but he's not getting any help from the legislature. So it's a lose-lose situation, and it's a sinking boat. But people don't want to face the reality of the problems we're facing.
One of the interesting things that it sounds like you're talking about is that essentially a large portion of the state is being ignored and disenfranchised because of the population centers in Chicago, and that what favors Chicago is happening, but what favors everywhere else. I mean, listen, like that's something we see over here. I live right outside of Washington, D.C.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, no matter what's happening in the rest of the country, no matter if there's a recession or a depression or whatever, government agencies just going on as if nothing's different. Nothing's changed for them at all. And nothing's changed, of course, for the contractors. Nothing changed for their lobbyists. Nothing's changed for any of the special interests. You know, of course, things, you know, when I travel to so many other states and, you know, and I see that these huge and increasing disparities between what's happening in D.C. and what's happening in other places, it sounds like you're saying that there's something similar happening, you know, even within a single state between Chicago and, you know, kind of everyone else.
Yeah.
Let me ask you. Let me ask you this. There's one thing that's known about Illinois is that there's a lot of political corruption. There's a lot of attempts to keep the Libertarian Party off the ballot. What's happening in terms of that? Is there anything you guys are doing over there, or is that just, you know, just how it is?
It's hard. I'm not sure the fighting effort to really change the ethics here in the state. It's corrupt. I mean, since the gangsters in Chicago with Capone and the gang violence in Chicago continuing, and then with the politicians, I mean, I think we've had three governors and a couple legislators all been indicted or prosecuted, and it's a sad state. Trading political favor for advantages of money, whether that's money or advancing politically, it's a sad state. It's not about the people of Illinois; it's about themselves. And I think that, but I think that people are getting frustrated with these two parties just fighting against each other and for their own benefit, and not to help. You know, the people that elect them. We've seen great strides in my county. This was my first year being politically active. And if the rest of the state had followed our county, we would have three political parties in the state. So what was happening in your county?
What was happening in your county that was different from the rest of the state?
Oh, I think, well, our state is very, very independent. We go red and blue, back and forth. People actually listen to the policies here. It's not, you know, dead red, dead blue. We pay attention. And we're willing to open up and listen to what people have to say. I mean, obviously, this last election cycle was crazy, and no one was really happy about who they voted for if they were voting for one of the old party candidates. And Gary Johnson, our Senate candidate Kent McMillan, our comptroller candidate Claire Ball, all got above 5% in our county, and I believe all got over 3% in the state. there's just this, people are sick of it, but they're also scared. I had a lot of people just very scared about the other person winning, so they couldn't do it. But I think that people are changing their mind because they're just seeing it's not working. We only campaigned for like a few months and yielded great results. So I'm very optimistic about my race. We've grown as a chapter from 5 to almost 20 people within mm-hmm. a few months. So people are willing to listen, and it's very encouraging.
Now, if somebody wants to learn more about your campaign or about the DeKalb County Libertarian mm-hmm. Party, is there a website, a Facebook page? How should they get in touch with you guys?
We don't have a website at this point. We have a Facebook page. You can find us at Libertarian Party of DeKalb County, Illinois. There's a DeKalb County in Georgia and Indiana, so make sure you add Illinois to the end of that. My Facebook page is John Eldon Matthey for state representative.
Awesome. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show with us today.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Guys, we just finished talking with John Matthey. He's running in 2018 for state representative. But as you can see, they're already getting to work. They've already gone from a small county party of 5 to a growing county party of 20. And who knows what's going to happen over the next year. Now, you're probably thinking, well, listen, I could probably get involved with something like that. Maybe I could run for office. Well, yeah, you can run for office. You can get involved in county politics. You can get involved in state politics. And I want you to do that. Everybody wants you to do that. We know that if you do that in your area, that area you know better than anyone else does, you're going to be able to connect with local libertarians. You're going to be able to make things happen in ways that make sense in your community. But the first step is you have to get in touch with your state party. You have to let people know that you're there and willing and excited to do this stuff. And the way to do that is get to lp.org. You can find out how to run for office yourself. You can find out how to join an existing campaign or work on social media or work in the finance part of a campaign. There's so many different things you can do. Whatever skill you have, whatever your passion is, there's ways that you can use that. But the way to start is to go to lp.org. Right now, you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvin Vora. We'll be right back.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
Have you found the beauty inside of you? Join Bonnie Bonadeo each week for Beauty Inside and Out. We'll explain how beauty plays a part in everybody's lives. Our guests are makeup artists, hairdressers, and doctors. But we'll also feature holistic and wellness specialists and spiritual advisors. You can find that beauty inside and express it to its fullest on the outside. Tune in to Beauty Inside and Out every Thursday at 2 p.m. Pacific Time, 5 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. Why do some people seemingly make the same mistakes when it comes to love and relationships? What is the best way to find love? Make a visit each week to Destination Love. Host Shelley Pumphrey will bring what you need to know to find love. No, it's not about the next fad, dating site tips, scoring the first date, or looking your best. Rather, it's empowerment, knowing that your authentic self works best and the science behind finding love. Destination Love is live Wednesdays at 9 a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern on Voice America Variety. Hoarding has become a tremendous issue worldwide, not just for those who hoard, but for the people who love and care about them. On Take Back Your Life, When Your Things Are Taking Over, host Elaine Birchall helps you to understand and get unstuck from the clutter in your life, no matter how severe. Our program brings you practical strategies to help you get started and maintain your goals. Listen live every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit voiceamerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
This This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvind Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. If most of you have probably at some point been in some kind of a potential contest, maybe an arm wrestling contest, a chess game, poker, ping pong contest, whatever, and you might have even put a bet on it. You might have said, man, you know, I bet I can win this thing. But what if you were put against an opponent that you knew was just too big of a threat? Opponent that you, that if that opponent was really allowed to compete fairly, that opponent would be too much for you to handle. Well, you might try to disqualify that opponent or get that opponent out of the way or somehow make that opponent not be such an issue. And right now, across the country, Democrats and Republicans are working to push out their libertarian competitors. Good news, Libertarian Party is fighting back to make sure that libertarian voters are able to practice their fair and fundamental right to vote their conscience. With me right now is Bo Brown. He's the chair of the Madison County, Tennessee Libertarian Party. We're going to talk a little bit about ballot access. Bo, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Let's talk a little bit about the ballot access situation, the voting rights situation in Tennessee. Give me an update of what's happening right now.
Yeah, I really like your analogy, the way you put it. Right now in Tennessee, if someone wants to run as a libertarian, we can't get our L by that name. So what we're doing, the Libertarian Party of Tennessee is doing, is we're pushing for that ballot access, that ability to identify ourselves as who we are. And we've got a bill in the House and the Senate right now, of the state Congress and Senate. We've got some support for it, and what it would do is it would reduce the number of ballot access signatures that we're required to obtain from over 330,000 down to 5,000. Now, that's still significantly more than the 25 that Republicans and Democrats have to achieve, but yeah, exactly.
Let me just make sure I have those numbers right. You said that for Democrats and Republicans right now, before any law change, right now, Democrats and Republicans need to get how many?
25. That's
And Libertarians need to get how many?
Right now, it's just over 330,000.
So the ratio is, that's clearly just a sign of, I mean, you can't even call it fear at that point. I mean, that's just lunacy. That's saying that, listen, as long as we have, like, you know, a 40,000 to 1 chance, then it's fade, then it's fine. But you know, we can't compete with a 1 to 1. That's not fair.
Exactly. And, you know, interestingly, we've gotten Republican and Democrat support in the House. It's been great. We've had our legislators listening to us. We've done a really good job of organizing individuals and getting up on the Hill to talk to our representatives, and some of them really do have an open ear. Some of them recognize the patent absurdity of this sort of inequality. So that's been really good.
And it's important to understand that this is not just a thing for the Libertarian Party, you know, as an organization. It's also something for voters. You know, if you're a voter who's really in favor of, you know, high taxes and welfare or something like that, or, you know, really in favor of war, you don't need to memorize the names of the candidates. You can just memorize Democrat or Republican. That makes things easier for you. And
right,
we're saying
exactly.
That Libertarian voters need that.
And that's exactly what we're trying to do. I mean, people can understand what the Libertarian platform is. The problem is, if someone likes lower taxes, if someone prefers liberty to oppression, if someone wants a non-interventionist foreign policy, if someone wants global economics, if they believe in bodily autonomy, they can't tell what candidate stands for that by an eye. The only way they can tell that using a, you know, a voting heuristic is by seeing that capital L. And that's the, and that is the only way that they can tell that without having to look through the entire list of all of the independent candidates running.
And that's a huge difference. I mean, that's an amazing, that's like a humongous difference, because that's how we make decisions. We make decisions by these quick things. It's like, oh, I need to make sure that I get the, you know, the thing that doesn't have any high fructose corn syrup, but I need to make sure I get the thing that does have the high fructose corn syrup, depending on your views. You know, it's like you make these quick snap judgments, and that's how you do things. That's how we all make our decisions. But they're taking that ability away when they're saying you can run as independent, but you can't run as a libertarian. They're basically saying, well, you can't vote for lower taxes. Now, right now, what are some of the issues in Tennessee that people are really going to be drawn to the libertarian position specifically?
Sure. So one, excuse me, one huge issue right now that is Tennessee specific is the so-called Improve Act. And what that is, it's a gas tax. In Tennessee, it's an increase on what we pay at the pump by 7 cents for unleaded fuel, and then for regular fuel, and then 12 cents for diesel. And this is from the Republican governor. And the Libertarian Party is exactly. The Libertarian Party is really spearheading this effort to get this thrown down. We're working really hard with Americans for Prosperity, who I think is doing a great job at looking at this. And the important thing to remember just about this specific bill is that Tennessee right now is operating on a $2 billion surplus. $1 billion of that is recurring. And what does the governor want to do? He wants to add more taxes. He wants to steal more money from the Tennesseans. And this can't stand.
And the thing is, he realizes, I mean, I assume that if he thought about this for 5 seconds, he realizes that it's not Democrats that are really going to threaten this plan, because honestly, sort of sounds actually more like a Democrat plan than a Republican plan anyway. The only challenge to this plan that's in any way likely is going to be from Libertarian candidates. And it's only Libertarian candidates that pose the threat. Of course he wants there to be a 50,000 to 1 ratio of the number of signatures required. That's the threat. The Democrats aren't the threat to this type of corruption. What are some of the other big areas in Tennessee right now that you guys are especially excited about?
Sure. So right now we're working hard towards medical marijuana. That's always going to be an issue, and we're really looking at that. Another big issue right now that's kind of a very popular issue among liberty-minded folks, as it should be, is civil asset forfeiture. These acts where you are just ignoring any kind of due process and assuming guilt without a trial and taking away from just the ordinary individual, it's just absurd. And that's another thing that we're focusing on. But as I said before
we go further, what is the, for people who don't know, just give a bit, kind of a brief overview of what civil asset forfeiture is. Because I think there's quite a few people who just can't even imagine that something like that could be happening in a supposedly free country.
Sure. So essentially what civil asset forfeiture is if you are detained in any way and you are accused of a crime, the law enforcement, the police, are allowed to take from you anything that they believe is evidence or they believe you gained in furtherance of that crime. And they get to keep that. You forfeit ownership of that. And if you are a libertarian, if you have a mind towards liberty, if you believe in a constitutionally limited government, that sort of thing should strike you as entirely wrong, just on its face.
Mm-hmm. And it's really important to understand, we're not just talking about, hey, you, that gun looks like it's the kind of suspicious. It's like this cash in your bank account that you would use to hire a lawyer to defend yourself against these charges looks kind of suspicious. I mean, that's what civil asset forfeiture is. They're not just pulling out, taking away guns and switchblades here. They're taking away thousands or hundreds of thousands of dollars in cash that people need for defense.
Right, exactly. And they're doing so without having satisfied the state's burden of proof.
Exactly. So that's an important thing. This is pre-trial. They're just taking it. Yeah, yeah. As if we're living in some sort of a totalitarian, Soviet Russia type situation. So what is the Libertarian Party doing right now in order to restrict that? What are you guys doing in Madison County or in Tennessee as a whole?
Well, as I said before, we've got this huge roadblock with ballot access. So right now, the only thing we're focused on, we are with laser-like focus looking in at this ballot access. Once we are able to achieve ballot access, we're going to be able to really come out strong with policy positions and policy proposals regarding all of these sorts of other issues that are, you know, parts of government. We're going to be able to come out strong against civil asset forfeiture, come out strong in support of bodily autonomy, come out strong in support of all these other really important, really necessary issues of discussion. But we can't do anything until we get that ballot access. Everything we want to do rests upon that foundation. So any sort of help that we can get from anywhere is what we are looking for, and that is our tireless commitment right now.
And it's really important for people to realize that that's what ballot access gets us. It's not just another name on the ballot. It's not just, you know, some little political thing. Ballot access here means we're fighting against unnecessary gas tax. It means we're fighting against civil asset forfeiture. It means we're fighting against all these things. That comes from ballot access. Ballot access is the absolute linchpin of any kind of political activism, because without it, we can't threaten their votes.
Without it, we're voiceless. We can't put a Libertarian candidate on the ballot. We can't get a Libertarian candidate into office. Everything rests on this decision. And so in Tennessee is one of the very few states left that doesn't have that sort of full ballot access.
Now, let me ask you this. If somebody wants to learn more about the Libertarian Party of Madison County or the Libertarian Party of Tennessee, what's the best way for them to do that?
So if you want to learn more about the Madison County Libertarian Party, you can go to Madison County TN Libertarian Party on Facebook. You can also go to lptn.net. That's the state party page. And then you can, of course, find us in the links at lp.org, the national party. We're right in there.
Awesome. Bo, thank you so much for taking the time to share with us this information about what you guys are doing in Tennessee, and for talking about what you guys plan to do once you get that ballot access and how you're getting that ballot access itself.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Guys, we just finished talking with Bo Brown. He's the chair of the Madison County, Tennessee Libertarian Party. You heard him talking about the importance of ballot access. You heard him talking about what the party's going to do once there is that ballot access. What are some of the laws that are going to be different? If you want to be part of that process, if you want to be part of the group that makes things like this happen, please go to lp.org. Right now, you're listening to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. We'll be right back.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
We know that you're looking for more. You want a more fulfilling life and don't know how to free yourself from the proverbial rut. Tune in to Wake Up and Listen with co-hosts Don Burnett and Dr. Don. With engaging discussion and some fun too, Don and Dr. Don will help you bring harmony into your life, improve your relationships, release those fears, and get you unstuck. Wake Up and Listen can be heard live every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Are you a pet parent? If so, you'll want to stay up to date on the latest tech gadgets and advances for your canine or feline friend. With a ton of apps, websites, tech toys, and more, you'll want to be in the know when it comes to the real treasures and the duds. For that information, listen for Pet Lover Geek with host Lorian Clemens. We test and discuss what's hot and what's not on the pet front, so you'll be better informed. Tune in Saturdays at 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Variety.
What makes a great leader?
Most have a vision, one that starts beyond the resources available and continues from that point into developing a solid plan, organization, and company. Leadership issues are discussed each week on Voltcast, Illuminating Leadership with host Jeff Smith. Jeff has years of experience as a leader and executive coach, and his guests will bring you information that can help a team of any size. Listen every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Variety.
Become our friend on Facebook. Post your thoughts about our shows and network on our timeline. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvind Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm your host, Arvind Vora. Now, some of you guys might be wondering, well, if they do get ballot access in Tennessee, what type of candidate are they going to be running? Well, you're about to find out right now. My next guest is Jesse Fullington. He is running for state representative in Tennessee in the 79th district. We're going to talk about what he's going to do if he gets elected. Jesse, welcome to the show. Now, just let me ask you this. If you're elected, what are some of the areas that you're going to focus on? What are some parts of government that you're going to try to downsize? What kind of freedoms are you going to work to increase?
Well, definitely main planks of my campaign is going to be continuing Tennessee's tradition of not having a state income tax and lowering and getting the government out of a lot of the tax regulations that are being proposed right now, such as we're looking at an increase in fuel tax. You know, we're going to be cutting out, you know, government programs that don't need to be funded, you know, that are taking away from the taxpayers. Also, looking at marriage equality right now, there's a couple of Republicans that have introduced a couple of bills in the Senate and the House to ignore the Supreme Court's decision on, you know, equal marriage law. So we're going to be fighting that, you know. You can't ignore judicial review, you know. You can't say one group isn't entitled to the same right.
I want to back up to that for a second, because there's so many people out there right now that say, listen, we've already won the fight on marriage equality. That fight's over. We don't need to think about it. But what you're saying is, well, that's not true. Yeah, we won a huge battle in favor of marriage equality, but that doesn't mean the war is entirely over. So what are the things that we're looking to do to make sure that we maintain or increase marriage freedom?
So the way we accomplish that is we just remove government from marriage completely. You know, we look at it from a constitutional standpoint, where the Constitution states that marriage is a, you know, private contract between two consenting parties. There's no definition of gender, you know, anything like that. So we take the government out of it. We say, look, if we agree the Constitution is how this country is to be ran, it doesn't say you have to be a man and a woman to get married. Whether you agree or disagree with it, the fact is the Constitution gives no leading for anybody to say, well, we don't agree that these people should be married. To get at marriage equality, we have to pull the government out of marriage.
Now, that's a really interesting position. There's when a lot of people say, well, how can you get the government entirely out of marriage? Has there ever been a time in American history where the government was not licensing marriage?
That's actually a really good question. I'm not entirely sure what time period, you know, there might have been without the government influence of marriage. But, I mean, if you look at it, marriage is no different than any other contract. You go to a lawyer's office, you're going to buy a house. Those are all contractual agreements between two parties. Why do we need the government to say who can and can't get married? The government can't tell me that I can't go buy somebody's house if I want to enter into a contractual agreement to buy a product. The government tell me I can't go buy that product. So why is the government allowing people to say, you know, hey, we get you're two consenting adults, you want to get married, but we don't think that that fits with what we're wanting in a marriage, so we're not going to allow that.
You know, we have some information coming in, actually. We have some information coming in right now on this topic. Apparently, some of the famous people who were married without a marriage license or before there were marriage licenses in the country include none other than George and Martha Washington. And I don't think that most people would say that their marriage wasn't legitimate because the government didn't approve it.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's, I mean, you know, people wanting more of a quote-unquote Christian influence in the government. You know, most people say, oh, well, you know, the founding fathers, you know, they were these hardcore Christian guys wanting to come over here to escape prosecution. And then you look at the truth of the matter, and, you know, Benjamin Franklin was an atheist, and, you know, Thomas Jefferson mm-hmm. and several of the other were deists, and, you know, they wanted no part of Christianity in government, but yet people rally behind them as, you know, reasons for, you know, why we should be a more pro-Christian government.
Let's talk about, there's a few other areas that I want to make sure we get to. What are some of the other social freedoms that you would say are important, or economic freedoms that are particularly important as part of your campaign?
I would say bodily autonomy is definitely one. Mm-hmm. You know, we're working with, you know, several legislators trying to get, there's one introduced by Representative Kumar from the Memphis area, I believe, you know, promoting the use of medical marijuana. That's something that we're getting behind because, once again, why are we allowing the government to decide who and what medical care you need? That should be left between the private individual and their doctor. The doctor says marijuana is the way to go. You know, the government, you know, that doctor is going to know more about your health care and what's going to promote that versus what the government's going to say.
And it's really one of those, just of all the strange positions that I've seen, you know, kind of pro-government people take, the medical marijuana one is the one that's so strange. I mean, what person in their right mind is really going to say, no, cancer patients don't need their pain medication? I mean, it's just such a strange position that I've just never really been able to wrap my mind around. But you're saying that even right now, even before getting elected, you guys are already working to push some of these measures through.
Yeah, and it needs to be that way. Like, people, you know, they wait to – the problem with people is, until you want to get out there and start making others to make that change happen. Same goes with medical marijuana, and I agree. I don't understand how people can wrap their head around denying medical care to somebody. Right now, Tennessee has a huge opiate problem. You know, last year alone, there was close to 1,500 people across the state died from opiate overdose. The state mm-hmm. recognizes that we have a problem with opiate dependency, but the state doesn't want to do anything about it. They want to regulate the doctors more instead of opening up a safer alternative to opiate. That mm-hmm. makes absolutely no sense to me. Obviously, if you see that this is damaging, you look at the health risk and benefits of an opiate versus cannabis. Cannabis wins every time, but they don't want to open their eyes to that, and it does. It blows my mind as well.
One of the things that Milton Friedman pointed out about drugs is that when you make drugs illegal, it favors hard drugs for the very simple reason that you can just fit a lot more doses of heroin in a suitcase than you can fit marijuana. It's just easier to transport a more concentrated and dangerous drug than it is to transport a less concentrated and dangerous drug. You know, we saw that with alcohol, you know, during Prohibition. Then heroin started getting trafficked simply because it's just smaller and easier to carry. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, that when you have a free market, people tend to lean towards the things that are kind of a little bit safer anyway.
The problem is, too, is people have this inherent, like, late 1930s fear against marijuana, where they've, you know, your elected officials get in front of people and say, well, you know, we can't make this legal because if we do, everybody around you is going to be smoking pot, and pot smoking is dangerous. They keep running through that reefer madness propaganda, and it scares the voters, and a lot of them don't look into the issue enough for themselves to make an informed decision. They trust their elected officials to tell them the truth. And they're like, well, no, because if they make, you know, medical marijuana illegal, or I mean legal, then my neighbors are going to be smoking pot and there's going to be all these crazy things go on. When in reality is, most people, like let's say recreational marijuana was legal throughout the entire 50, you know, states. Mm-hmm. My best guess is, first 6 months to a year, you might see a rise in marijuana smokers. But after that, once that novelty wears off, people are naturally inclined to either want to do something or not do something. So after novelty wears off, if you weren't going to smoke pot while it was illegal, you're probably not going to smoke it when it's legal. So, you know, the whole craze of, well, everybody's just going to act stupid and this and that, like it's solely propaganda to keep the, you know, duopoly in power.
I think that's absolutely true. And we've seen so much evidence that is saying that that's pretty much what's happening. And that in the states where they've legalized marijuana, we're seeing crime going down. We're seeing innovation and economic growth. We're seeing so many positive things and the loss of so many negative things. And that even with just a few states legalizing marijuana, the violent cartels in other countries, in Mexico and other countries, are actually financially hurting from just a couple states legalizing it.
You know, oh, yeah. Well, that's the thing. You know, if we, you know, the president right now is preaching this, we got to make these borders safer. We got to do this. We got to build this huge wall. We have to spend this $10 billion to build this huge wall to keep all these illegals that are coming over here selling drugs, this, that, and the other. My answer to immigration reform, if we were to make what the cartels are making money off of in the United States legal, the cartel loses its foothold. If you can go to Walmart and buy marijuana, buy this, buy that, where's the cartel's money going to come from? When you make something a black market item, it's inherently, there's money to be made in that. So, yeah, by making these drugs illegal and by telling the cartels you can't come up here and sell it, of course, they're going to be like rebellious teenagers that come up here and sell it, and they make tons of money and send it out of the country. Mm-hmm. But we make these drugs legal, it opens up opportunities for new jobs for Americans, it does this, and we don't have to worry about the bad illegals coming up here because there's no reason for them to anymore. They can't mm-hmm. make money on selling, you know, marijuana to people on the street because you can go to any store and buy marijuana. So we want to cut out the cartels, we want to cut out illegal immigration. Let's look at letting people make their own decisions about what they want to put in their body. Let's take away the way cartels are making their money.
Now, Jess, before we run out of time, if somebody wants to learn more about your campaign, where should they go?
Right now, Facebook and Twitter is the best way to reach me. Both of those are at Jesse, the number 4, A Better TN. We also have a website that is www.jesse4abettertn.com. It's currently under construction, so it's up, but there's a couple of links that are still being worked on.
Awesome.
But those are the best ways to get in contact with the campaign.
Awesome. Jesse, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Guys, we just finished talking with Jesse Fullington. He's running for state representative in Tennessee in the 79th District. We'll be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station.
Number one talk station.
VoiceAmerica.com.
Tune in each week for Monica Phillips and powerful conversations. This is a thought-provoking show for business people, leaders, and entrepreneurs. We'll feature today's thought leaders and industry trendsetters from across several locations and industries. Give yourself permission to be inspired and live a fulfilling life. Be sure to listen to Powerful Conversations live every Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time, 12 noon Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Where are you getting your advice on buying, selling, or maintaining your most important asset, your home? Is it from a reality show on cable TV, a comparison website, or are you just flying by the seat of your pants and gut instinct? Stop now before you make another move. Tune into Real Real Estate Today with host and realtor Deb Tomorrow. You can't afford to play guesswork when it comes to your new or existing home. Listen every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific, on Voice America Variety.
Are you or someone you know interested in attending college? With both college tuition and college enrollment up 60% since 2002, there is a lot of competition, and careful planning needs to be a part of the process. Tune in to Getting In, a College Coach Conversation, hosted by Elizabeth Heaton and featuring a team of college coach experts. We'll bring you the tips, techniques, and know-how to navigate the road to college and do so the smart way. Listen live every Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Follow us on Twitter at VoiceAmericaTRN. Get the lowdown on guests, new shows, and your favorites. That's VoiceAmericaTRN.
This is Libertarians Working for You. If you wish to connect with our show, please call 1-866-472-5788. That number again is 1-866-472-5788. You may also send an email to comments@lp.org. Here again is Arvind Vora.
Welcome back to Libertarians Working for You. I'm excited because my next guest is going to be the person who is the person who I voted for in 2016 for Congress, and he's the person I'm going to be voting for in my district for 2018 in Congress. Please welcome to the show Jason Wunder. Jason, thanks for being on the show
Arvin.
Today. I want to talk about a few different areas during the segment, but the first thing I want to talk about is I want to talk about taxation, because that's been such a central issue right now. You got the Republicans with their, you know, thing they're calling a tax cut, although it's revenue neutral, so it seems like a tax nothing. What are some of your views on taxation? What would you propose that we do if you get elected?
Oh, my goodness. I can talk all day about taxation. I hope you don't mind going to your radio show once or the next hour. I cannot stand taxes. I feel taxation is theft. And what I would do is I would actually eliminate, I'd try and go for 95% of the taxes out there. I think we get taxed so much and on ridiculous stuff. You know, what a lot of people don't understand is the part of Obamacare is they tax medical devices, and then they tax the different type of plans that you have. And you wind up paying more than half of your paycheck that you get. Half of the money that comes into your hand after your work week is taken by the government in the form of payroll tax. You have your property tax for your home. You have sales tax for things that you buy. You have gas tax. You have your cell phone have multiple taxes, everything including a 911, a 911 tax, a county tax. I mean, you get a tax for everything, tolls that you pay. I mean, the list goes on. I did research on my last running for election, and I think I counted about 47 or 49, somewhere in that number, of different taxes that Marylanders alone pay.
And a big part of that taxation is also kind of buried into prices. So a thing that you now pay, say, $10 for, if there weren't all these taxes and tariffs and fees and regulations and all that, you might, instead of paying $10, you might be paying $1. So even if your take-home was the same, you'd kind of be 10 times richer because everything was 10 times cheaper.
Yeah, and people don't realize that a business has property tax. And they also have the tax from the company that produced the product. They have to ship it to you somehow. They have to ship it to the building. So that alone is a tax, because they have to pay gas tax to fuel the trucks. And there's just so much corporate tax. I mean, the corporate tax is, 35%, I believe? I mean, that is just outrageous.
Let's talk about, if you're elected, what are some of the parts of government, you know, if we reduce taxes, probably we're going to reduce spending on something. Where would you see some of those spending reductions happening?
Oh, geez, with Republicans in office, or just if I was?
No, if you're elected, what spending cuts would you be proposing?
Oh, goodness, I was about to say with the Republicans in office, good luck with that. I would have to say I would eliminate sales tax, gas tax for sure, payroll tax. I would eliminate just about everything. I personally advocate for strictly property tax. And I think that everybody would be a very minimal amount. Everybody would be taxed based on the square footage of the property that they own. But it wouldn't cover much other than I would have a very small budget that I'd like to have for just military, and it would be very small. And I'd privatize as much as I could. I would look to privatize the fire department, schools, roads, hospitals, and I would do as much as I could to eliminate government spending by cutting those different departments. But the reality of it is, unless libertarians are elected in a large number around the country, you would probably have to get as much as you could. So I would push the mostly probably for income tax cuts.
Let's talk about the there's kind of two things that we're I'm seeing happening with taxes. One is situations where we're paying taxes for something that's basically a more or less positive thing. We're just paying way, way, way too much, and we're not getting a very good version of that thing. But then we're also paying a lot of taxes for things that just aren't even – they're not even a good idea. What are some of the things that government's doing right now that you would say, listen, just it shouldn't even be privatized. It should just be stopped.
I'm not a big fan of the cell phones and people being given cell phones. I think that is something that is ridiculous to me, because if you look, a lot of the cell phone plan that the government gives you, that the government provides if you're on welfare programs, you're allowed to text and get on the internet with. So I think, and that's actually embedded into your cell phone tax. I forget what the name of it is, but it's a company. I have it with Verizon, and it's a small charge of something around like $1 a month. And it goes to fund free cell phones, and not just basic flip phones, but smartphones. You can get BlackBerries. I think some of them offer iPhones. So I think that to me is just, I don't know why you would want to provide somebody a free cell phone. So I think that's essentially dumb. So that'd be one of them.
What about, are there any agencies or cabinet level departments that would also go that same way?
I think like the EPA, I think is ridiculous. Having private property, I think, solves a lot of those issues. The CIA, I think, gets us involved in a lot more trouble. I would actually like to take the FBI and put it down at the state level and allow states to have deals with each other and to work on criminal cases together. I think the FDA I would eliminate, because, I mean, taking upwards of 10 years to get drugs to people, you know, I mean, we have life-saving drugs out there now that people don't have access to, that they could have access to. I would eliminate.
And just to mention, a lot of those are oh, yeah, Department of Education for sure, but I want to say something about the FDA. A lot of those drugs that people are waiting for, you know, life-saving drugs that people who have 6 months to live need to wait 10 years to get, a lot of those drugs are already approved in Europe. So it's not like people don't think that they work. We already know that they work well enough to allow somebody who's only has a few months to live to test out. And that's something that people have been fighting for in many states and have been winning in many, but have been losing in others. There are states that literally aren't saying, like, this is not an oversight. We are intentionally saying that a person who has 6 months to live still needs to wait 10 years for the drug.
And, well, and that's, I'll tell you, just before I got on the phone with you, I read an article on MSN where there was a 10-year-old boy that was given 12 months to live by his doctor, and he had cancer. And his father had made various petitions to try and get him on a drug treatment study, and he was denied. And he's got, I think, a few more months to live now. And like a kid like that, like, you have to apply for drug studies, and there's probably life-saving drugs out there that are still in clinical trial that the FDA mandates they go through certain ones where this kid could potentially be saved.
Exactly, and those are the things. I mean, when we're talking about cutting government, there is this very real side of it. Now, before we run out of time, let me ask you this real quick. If somebody wants to learn more about your campaign, where should they go?
You can go one of two places. You can go to jasonwunder.org. That's JASENWUNDER.org. Or you can actually call me personally on my cell phone. I give out my cell phone to everybody that asks. It's 410-916-5805. It's the very phone I'm talking on right now. Call and ask me any questions you have.
Awesome. Jason, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today.
No, Arvin, thank you for having me. And as always, taxation is theft.
Absolutely. Guys, we just finished talking with Jason Wunder. And thank you so much for listening to the show this week. We'll be back next week. And thanks for listening to Libertarians Working for You.
Thank you for tuning in to Libertarians Working for You. Please join Arvin Vora again next Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope you have a great week.